maybe a few new people will join in as well, because we could use your assistance. You're listening to The Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Thanks to Billy Shears, music director. And don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left.
This is the Quality News Network. Washington lawmakers narrowly approved a bill to impose strict penalties for price gouging for oil and gas. The bill calls for fines of up to $150 million for corporations and $2 million and jail time for individuals found to be overcharging for oil and gas. The White House said the measure is a form of price controls and will urge President Bush to veto the bill. Monica Goodling, the Justice Department's former White House liaison, testified that Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty is to blame for misleading Congress about the firings of U.S. attorneys last year. Goodling denies any involvement in the process. A former Coca-Cola secretary will serve jail time for conspiring to steal trade secrets. A federal judge ignored Joya Williams' pleas for mercy and gave her a longer sentence than recommended. Williams planned to sell the secrets to Pepsi for $1.5 million. Iraqi police have recovered the body of a man believed to be one of the missing U.S. soldiers kidnapped in Iraq 11 days ago. The commander of U.S. forces in Iraq says the military has not positively identified the body yet. A show of force in the Persian Gulf, 9 U.S. Navy warships, including 2 aircraft carriers, arrived today off the coast of Iran. 17,000 U.S. sailors and Marines will conduct exercises to demonstrate the U.S.'s commitment to Gulf security. In Turkey, investigators say a Kurdish terrorist is responsible for the suicide bombing that killed 6 and wounded 80. The blast happened during rush hour in a crowded Ankara shopping district yesterday. The Pentagon appears to be preparing to double the number of U.S. combat forces in Iraq this year. Pentagon deployment orders indicate more combat brigades will be deployed there, and duty tours of troops already in Iraq will be extended. The latest war funding bill is now in Congress, and it does not contain a timetable for troop withdrawal. The measure, which is expected to pass, will provide over $100 billion of war funding and another $17 billion for domestic and military-related spending not requested by the president. In China, 28 people have been arrested and charged with organizing massive riots over Beijing's family planning policies, where it is illegal to have more than one child. This is QNN.
Attention business owners. Getting new customers is now just one click away. Sounds too good to be true, right? Well, you got us. It's actually two clicks away with the new MyLocalYP.com. MyLocalYP.com is more than an online yellow pages. It's an interactive gateway that connects customers with your business, all in just two clicks. Why continue to pay thousands of dollars on an antique advertising medium, especially one that ends up going into the recycling bin? Make the smart upgrade at only a fraction of the cost. Try for yourself. MyLocalYP.com. MyLocalYP.com will put your business in the radar of thousands of potential customers. They'll be able to make reservations online, even print out the map with directions, all in just two clicks. Call 1-800-505-1883 today to find out more about this great new service. The sooner you do, the faster your cash register will start to ring. The number again is 1-800-505-1883. MyLocalYP.com.
Researchers say climate change could cause indigenous plant species to become extinct. The relatives of plants like the potato and the peanut could be threatened because of drought. California is the latest state to detect an insect-borne virus that kills tomato plants. Tomato crops in Florida, Georgia, and across Central America have been decimated by the disease. A study of rainfall in the U.S. shows Mobile, Alabama is the wettest community in the nation, receiving more than 5 feet of rain annually. Pensacola, Florida, New Orleans, and West Palm Beach, Florida follow. Management from the Canadian aluminum company Alcan is encouraging shareholders to reject a $27 billion hostile takeover from U.S. rival Alcoa. And British Petroleum has shut down a quarter of its oil production at its Prudhoe Bay field in Alaska. A leak was discovered from a pipe in the facility that separates water from crude oil. Light sweet crude is trading at $65.51 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Gold is trading at $662.60 an ounce. The Dow Jones is up 6 at this hour. The Nasdaq down 4. The S&P 500 is up 1. We have more for you at thequalitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Claudia Eisman.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. We all know that this is a presidency that seeks to expand its power in every way, shape, and form it can. Tries to go around the Constitution to spy on people without warrants, to torture people, to take all the provisions it can do from Congress. And we understand, even as we try to fight it, the president that's grasping for power, that wants a dictatorship, that wants to be all-powerful. After all, he's doing what Dick Cheney and Karl Rove tell him to do. But then how do we explain the Democratic Congress? One power that is clearly in the Congress is the power of the purse, the power to control funding for war. And today it was announced that the Democrats capitulated, surrendered, agreed to provide, without timetables, at least no permanent enforceable timetables, to provide George Bush all the funding he needs. And I'm at a bit of a loss for words. Now, you know me, I'm rarely at a loss for words. Look, I understand the Democrats when they offered to provide funding along with a withdrawal date. Bush vetoed that. And then they tried a short funding through July with the president having to come back to signify things were working, and then through funding through September. That made sense to me. Bush vetoed that. And so now they say, okay, whatever you want, Mr. President. Well, that's not exactly what they're saying. I've talked now with a number of Democratic staffers on background. That's one of the advantages of having worked in the House. I do know lots of people there, and I've talked with lots of people there. And over the next hour, I want to discuss with you what they're saying, what they're thinking. You have a right to know what's really going on, although I can tell you from the outset, I'm not a big fan. As someone who has given a lot of praise to Nancy Pelosi, I'm not a big fan of hers right now. I'm kind of upset at my party. And the reason I'm upset is because if the Democrats had simply done nothing, the war would end. Let me be clear on that. If Congress doesn't give the funds, the war ends. That is their constitutional right. In fact, it's a right so old it dates back to my old England. Do you know about the Magna Carta? I mean, we could start in the 1200s if we need to. How is it that the Parliament has the power over the purse? How is it that we have any democracy at all? Well, the way is, it's very simple. When King John wanted to fight his wars against France in the 13th century, he needed money. He needed money from his nobles. And so they, in order to raise tax money, wanted something back. They wanted a parliament. They wanted a right to have other say in the government. And thus came the Magna Carta and the beginning of Anglo-American democracy. But it doesn't work if you don't use it. In the 1600s, another king wanted to fight his wars, King James, and he refused to bring in the Parliament, and the Parliament didn't give him any funds for his wars. And finally, because kings love their wars, and presidents love their wars, King James had to bring in his Parliament and get permission. Well, George Bush sure loves his wars. And in order to continue his wars, he needs funding. and that funding has to come from Congress. And the beauty of it all, and I know people that say, well, we didn't have the votes. We don't have two-thirds of the House. We don't have two-thirds of the Senate to override Bush's veto. That's true, but it's beside the point. We don't need two-thirds. Because if no bill comes up, funding runs out. And I'm told it runs out as early as July. So what was George Bush telling the Democrats in backroom conversations? Well, here's the inside scoop. He was saying, folks, if you don't give me the funding, I'm going to leave our troops to die and rot in Iraq. You see, it takes a bit of funding to withdraw them, and the Democrats were providing ample funding to withdraw them. He said, you know what? I'll just let it run out. They won't have body armor. They won't have food. They'll starve and they'll die. George Bush, in effect, said to the Democratic Congress, I will allow thousands of American troops to die in Iraq, and then I will blame you. And the Democrats blinked. They blinked. They said, we don't want the deaths of thousands of troops on our hands. And Bush said, well, I'll kill them. I'll kill them. I'll murder every last one of them. I don't give a damn about our men and women in uniform. I hate them all. I'll make sure they don't have any food. They won't have any armor. I won't bring them out with the limited funds that you're willing to provide me. I'll say the Democrats are to blame because they're not funding our troops. But I won't bring them home as your commander-in-chief. Now, that's a pretty evil threat. And I guess I can understand why some Democrats backed down. Of course, Bush didn't expressly put it that way, right? He didn't say, I'll let them starve. No, 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 no. He said, you know, they won't have the funding, they won't have food, and it'll be your fault. So I said to some of the staffers on background, I said, have him put that on the record. Let's make the president, if he's that much of a bastard, let's make it clear to the entire world and to the troops, how little he cares about them. And they said, well, you know, the president has a big megaphone, and we don't have as big a megaphone. And if we don't fund the troops, they won't understand that we tried to fund them and the president vetoed the bill. They won't understand, and America will blame us for losing the war. That's their reasoning, folks. I mean, it's important that you understand their issues. Obviously, I disagree. I think what the Democrats should have done is said, you know what, Mr. President, here's a bill for funding that provides for an orderly withdrawal that even gives you until September to see if we can work out a Shiite-Sunni deal so that when we withdraw, there won't be craziness. You veto it? Okay. Here's another bill. You veto it? Okay. We're going to wait, Mr. President, until you're ready to talk with us. So what happens come July? Massive game of chicken. Barack Obama said, and I don't often criticize him because I like Barack Obama, but that he doesn't want to get in a game of chicken with our troops. Unfortunately, that's the way you play with this president of the United States. He is willing to risk thousands of lives. What does he care? None of his friends are in the military. His daddy got him out so he could smoke cocaine and do all the things that George Bush did when he was young. Another option is for the Democrats to provide very short funding, 30 days. Money's running out in July. We'll give money for 30 days. And then again in August. And each time we'll provide, say, a year, a bill for a year to allow time to draw down in the right way and to allow the Shiites and Sunnis to make a deal together and to not have a precipitous retreat, which is the way I think most of us agree it should happen. I don't know. I have to admit, it is tough, and I understand, you know, my fellow staffers. But at some point, you have to stand firm. This is the third longest war in United States history. The only ones that are longer are the Revolutionary War and the war in Vietnam. It's longer than World War II. It's longer than the Civil War. How are we going to find an end to this if the Democrats don't stand firm and say, Mr. President, if you won't talk with us, we won't talk with you? Let me hear what you think about this. I want to hear from you. Tell me, are you mad at the Democrats? Are you mad at Bush? Do you think there's another way out? 888-488-MARK or 877-4-HEAD-ON. Give me a call. Let me know what you think. We'll be right back.
This is the Head-On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country that bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America. Where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop, and I will be happy to give you the Inside Scoop on what's going on in Congress. I, frankly, was at a loss opening up the newspaper this morning, trying to understand what the Democrats are up to, and so I did a lot of phone calls today, talked to a number of people I know on the Hill, a number of Democrats, and I can tell you what we're up to. I'm not so sure I support it. Okay, I don't support it. But at least I will do my best to explain it to you. Let's start with what we're doing. We are passing a bill, that gives $120 billion in supplemental funding to the president. There are timetables in there, some 18 of them, but the president simply waves his hand and waves the timetables. The pun is intended. He can waive the timetables. They are not mandatory. He simply says in September, I still need the money, and, well, he gets it. Now, here's what they're saying behind the scenes. Mark, it was really hard. We tried to pass a bill to bring the troops home. The president vetoed it. We tried to pass limited funding. The president vetoed it. And we just think we'll be blamed if the troops are there and he leaves them there without funding. And Bush seemed to make clear that he was going to do that. Well, I asked, did you ask expressly? Was, did he say he was going to starve the troops? Mark, you know they're much cleverer than that. But, the Republicans, they tell me, the Republicans are starting to be done with this war. Many of them are talking about September as the drop-dead date, that September is when General Petraeus is going to come back and report on how well the surge is doing, that in September, by September 30th, many of the Republicans may well turn against this war. There is a defense authorization bill to come up for fiscal 2008, and fiscal 2008, my friends, begins October 1st, 2007. And we haven't, in other words, we've lost this battle, but we haven't lost the war to end the war. We can be much more difficult in the defense authorization bill. So I said, well, when will these funds run out? Will they run out on October 1st? Well, no. I mean, they should, but you know how these things work. It'll probably last till the end of the year. So I told these staffers, I said, look, at the very, very least, I want to see Reid and Pelosi out there saying, this is your last chance, George Bush. At least that message should be conveyed to the American people. But obviously, I'm not happy by these events. I'm not happy at all. And listen, when I'm not happy with my own party, I let you know that too. It's not just about attacking Republicans. I'm not happy with the Democrats right now. And there are many Democrats that aren't happy with the Democrats. Senator Russ Feingold, I think, said some wonderful things. You really need to check it out. He said, quote, the desire for political comfort won out over real action. And I think that's the case. I do think that's the case. On the other hand, hey, it took us, what, 6 years to get out of Vietnam after the Tet Offensive? At least 5 years. Still, it's cold comfort that we had the power and the president threatened chicken and we blinked. Toll-free number, 877-4HEAD-ON. Dave from California, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey there, Mark. I have known you for a long time to be a very guarded and cautious gentleman, and you do not like to leap to conclusions, but I think you have definitely arrived at some very valid insights into a very destructive, harmful, dangerous administration that doesn't care how many people they hurt while they reach out to grab what they can for themselves. And that is really a pathetic government to have in place, if I do say so.
You know, I had reached those conclusions about the Bush administration many years ago. I don't expect anything from them. I am disappointed in my own party today, though, for not standing up to them. And well, all I get, and again, I talked with a number of people today. I really used my inside scoop ties, if you will, because I wanted the inside scoop. I wanted to know what were they thinking. And I'm just trying to tell you what they were thinking. I don't agree with it, but you know, maybe the Republicans will change in September. Basically, what they're thinking at the heart of it is, if we cut off funding, America will blame us. That's what they're thinking. I don't think that's true, but it was a political calculus. And so what they're going to do, Dave, it's very interesting. They're going to offer these bills in a very weird parliamentary procedure that I've never seen before since my time on the Hill. They're going to insist that a number of very good domestic programs are there, things like raising the minimum wage, things that should have been done, frankly, years ago. And they're going to vote on those, and all the Democrats are going to vote yes. Then they're going to bring up for a vote the bill to provide funding for the troops. And that bill will be voted on by mostly Republicans. Very few Democrats will vote for that bill. Most don't support it. Nancy Pelosi will not vote for that bill. But she will allow it to come to the floor, despite the fact that as majority leader, you know, as the Speaker of the House, she could prevent it from coming to the floor. So they're going to vote on this bill, and then the Republican bill and the Democratic bill will be combined and sent over to the Senate, where it will be passed and Bush will sign it into
Mark,
law.
If I might, I have an insight for you as to what is motivating a number of these Democratic congressmen to go along with the administration. And that is some of these war profiteer corporations that are doing so very well in this war are sharing their wealth with any Congress member who's willing to put his hand out and accept it. So I have one here that's big bucks from Lockheed Martin. And I understand also that Bechtel, ExxonMobil, you know, all the ones that are benefiting so much with their no-bid contract, they pay the Congress members to say, yeah, we'll end this war, but not for a while. It's just too profitable for us all.
And well, Dave, I don't know. They certainly give a lot more money to the Republicans than they do the Democrats.
There are
Democrats that take that kind of money. I do think they're the minority. I actually think, while that could be true in some individual cases, at the heart of it really is, I wish I didn't have to use this word, but cowardice. I think the Democrats are afraid to take a strong stand. They believe the American public will blame them if the funding dries out and the troops are left there starving. And Bush says, Democrats, the troops are starving, they're hurting, they're dying, and it's your fault. And they think America, I guess, is too stupid to understand that Bush can pull them out anytime he wants. They think that Bush would win that. You know, Congress and President fight all the time. I mean, you know, back in 1995, the Republican Congress shut down the government, and they blamed Bill Clinton, and Bill Clinton blamed them, and he won that blame game. People understand it was the Republican Congress that shut down the government. And so some say, well, that just shows a Democrat can win the media war. And others say, no, it shows a president can win the media war. I disagree with their political analysis. I think when a president's at 28%, that people would have understood why the Democrats are ending the war. I'm just trying to tell you what people are saying to me.
I think it's probably very valid, but I ask one question of logic for you, Mark, and that is, you're a member of Congress, and you are receiving contributions in increments of $10,000 from, say, Lockheed Martin. Do you think they're just trying to buy good government? They want you to do the right thing?
No. Corporations give money to government to bribe them. There's no question about that, Dave. You're absolutely right about that. Of course they are. Look, as I've said on my show many times, if a corporation gives money to a government official, there's only two possible outcomes. One is they want money from the public. They want to grab taxpayer money. ExxonMobil gives a million to Politician X, and Politician X gives a billion of our taxpayer dollars to ExxonMobil. It's a great arrangement. They get 1,000 times their money. That's one possibility. It's called bribery. It's illegal. It's actually one of the grounds for impeachment. The other option is that it does nothing at all. If it does nothing at all, then the corporation is throwing away funds that it shouldn't throw away to do nothing at all. That's incompetence. That CEO needs to be fired. It is either criminal bribery or mismanagement incompetence. There is no other use for those corporate funds. I would ban corporate funding of any kind of political anything.
But this war,
I definitely agree with you, Dave, and there is stuff to go around, and there are Democrats that get this money. You'll notice that Republicans tend to get it about 3-1 in the way the Democrats do.
That this war is so very, very profitable, the few of these corporate specialists.
Halliburton's making a huge fortune.
Yeah, and that means
ExxonMobil, too.
That means Bush is. And they're criminals.
Right.
They have just stolen our government and taken us to an illegal war and putting the Treasury of the United States in their pocket.
See, that I was convinced of years ago. Where I'm disappointed today is in my own party caving into it. Now, they tell me they're going to get a backbone in September. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, toll-free number, 877-4HEAD-ON. Thank you for your call, Dave. I do appreciate it. Got to go to a break, though. 877-4HEAD-ON. Folks, what do you think about the Democrats' capitulation? How does it strike you? Are you mad? Are you angry? Are you frustrated? How do you feel? Let me know. We'll be right back after this.
This is The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. And so the Democrats caved pathetically to Bush and to Bush's war. No amount of extenuation can minimize the fact that the Democrats who were brought to power in Congress to end this war have just signed on to another $120 billion for that war. There's not even a timetable for withdrawal, just some benchmarks that the president himself can waive. What an abdication. What a capitulation. Even as U.S. soldiers are increasingly bogged down in Baghdad, even as the death toll of our troops zoom past. So much. Well, they're going to have to summon the courage
recently
to withstand those ads
James
at some point,
or
they'll just end
network.
Up voting for an additional $100 billion down the road.
This
with this new vote, they've consigned
right
100 U.S. soldiers to their
Republican,
deaths every month. Not a penny more should be spent on this war, except to get our troops out of there. That's what the American people want. And it's the height of cowardice and negligence to give...
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. What are we to do about the Democrats' capitulation? Well, we can take them at their word that they're gonna retry it in September. Here's another idea for the Democrats. I have an idea. Let's say you're going to capitulate, which I don't support, but let's say you're gonna do it. $120 billion. All you do is you attach to the $120 billion a requirement to pay for it. And to pay for it along with all the other costs of the war in Iraq. Call it President Bush's Iraqi War Surtax. And require everyone earning over $100,000 to double their tax bill. That should cover it. We'll leave the poor in the middle class out of it because, we don't want to make life hard for them. But if we make everyone over $100,000 double their taxes, maybe, we may have to make people over that earn over $500,000 triple their taxes. To do so would pay for the war. Submit that bill right up to the President of the United States. Hey, Mr. President, you got your war, but your friends have to pay for it. There'll be a corporate tax on ExxonMobil, Halliburton, special Halliburton windfall profits tax. You want your war, then you and your friends have to pay for it. Kind of treat them like a parent and a child, right? You want your toy? Well, go earn a living and go out and play for it. You want your fun? You want to go kill people and pretend that we're saving the world? You go right ahead, but you pay for it. They want to bet that is going to be vetoed? Because, my friend, the Republicans want the war, but they want us to pay for it. They want the poor and middle class to pay for it. They want the troops to pay for it. They want Iraqi people to pay for it. George Bush does not want to be known as the president that lost the war in Iraq. He wants to scoot that to the next president. It'll probably be a Democrat, and he or she can then be blamed. And the Democratic Congress doesn't want to lose the war in Iraq. So they try to get us out, but when Bush vetoes it, they keep up the funding. And the Republicans don't want to lose the war in Iraq, so what do? They make sure the president gets whatever he wants. Well, here's some news, Mr. President. Democrats, Republicans, hello. Got some news for you. We've already lost the war in Iraq. We lost it some years back. We lost it when the war to overturn Saddam Hussein's government, which I don't support, and he didn't attack us anyway, became a civil war between Shiites and Sunnis. When we decided that trying to install a parliament that would give guaranteed oil profits to our companies while putting in permanent military bases was our priority. You know, I was reading the other day the words of General Wesley Clark. Now, I think it's fair to note I'm a big fan of General Clark. In fact, I endorsed him for president in 2004. And as I read his speech at the Center for Politics and Foreign Relations at Johns Hopkins University that he gave just last week, not that long ago, I realized that we really missed something when he was not our nominee for the Democrats, when he did not become president. He points out that we've done all kinds of nasty stuff in the past. It's true, we've done coups. We overturned democratic governments in Iran and Chile and all around the world. Thoughtful people know this. Those that watch the Fox Propaganda Channel don't, but by definition, those are not thoughtful people. But he points out that this time we really blew it. This time we really blew it. Let me quote for you from Wes Clark's speech. Quote, there are hundreds of millions, billions out there who watch the United States. They observe our actions in the world. They hear our rhetoric. They're not committed enemies. But they're not necessarily our friends yet. Now, if we want to succeed in the world, we've got to win over these people, at least to the legitimacy of our aims and purposes. Right now, we've lost a crucial underpinning of America's safety, security, and ultimate well-being. It is our legitimacy as a nation. Today, the evidence shows we've lost much of this, General Clark said. I don't have to cite the poll after poll after poll over the last 5 years. You see them, the Pew polls, the BBC polls, the Chicago Council on Global Affairs polls. They show that, well, here's one published in March, quote, the United States is viewed more as negative than positive in world affairs. 51% of the people around the world said that. 28,000 people in 27 countries view the United States as a more negative than positive force in world affairs. We're ranked lower than North Korea. 10 out of 15 countries show the most common view is the United States cannot be trusted to act responsibly in world affairs. I want you to think about that. There was a time when the United States was, this is me talking now, not General Clark. There was a time when the United States was a light unto the nations. There was a proud time back in 1989 when in Tiananmen Square, the Chinese students that were protesting the Chinese dictatorship were raising the Statue of Liberty. They were looking to us. We were known as the home of the free, the land of the brave. We were known as a force for good in the world. People looked to the United States. Yes, we had all kinds of past. We Iraq is not the first time, as Clark points out, that we've done some pretty dastardly deeds. But we've really done it this time. We've really done it this time. Back to General Clark, quote, "We violated virtually every principle of just war doctrine. It's in Christian thought, it's in Islamic thought, and it's in the common sense of ordinary people all around the world, and we violated that." Clark says we distorted it. This was not a defensive war. It was an elective war. America chose to go to war when any reasonable look at the intelligence, even at the time, would have said this is not a necessary war. In our haste to go to war, we didn't even go to war as a last resort. We pushed it. We didn't allow time for the completion of the inspections. We didn't ask for and demand a second UN Security Council resolution. We pushed it. And when we went to war, we said things like shock and awe. Our one American general said, "We don't count Iraqi casualties." What, General Clark asked, "They're not people, they don't count?" The thin veneer of the UN resolution that we had may have provided an element of legality, but it did not provide legitimacy. After we reached Baghdad, General Clark says, "We failed to take due care to protect non-combatants and property. As the insurgency began, we didn't protect the civilian population. We pressured the civilian population." Goes on and on and on. Look, we're in trouble, folks. See, the reason the United States has power today is not because we have a nuclear bomb, my friends. We're not the only country that has one. We spend more on the military than every other country on earth. So you might say we're in power today because we have the strongest military in the world. Not quite true either. Why? Because other countries can pay more for their military. Japan is a very rich nation with a very small military. Europeans are rich nations with relatively small militaries compared to ours. China is getting richer and richer and richer. The reason why other countries haven't, to date, spent a lot of money on their militaries is because, heck, they trusted us. Well, they don't trust us anymore. There's a reason why every rogue nation in the world is trying to build a nuclear weapon. We are not the world's policeman. We are the world's bully. We go in and we attack nations that haven't attacked us. And then we refuse to leave because we want oil profits and military bases. This time we took it too far. Again, back to General Clark, who I have a lot of respect for. "We were unable to even follow through on the original purposes of the operation, except for removing Saddam Hussein from power. We lost all sense of proportion between ends and means. And even today, we're engaged in a military surge that the administration would like to see an open-ended commitment, which is actually a participation in an ongoing Iraqi civil conflict." Friends, they're playing us. They're playing us. The Shiite government wants to use us to attack the Sunnis. The Sunnis are hiding behind us to attack the Shiites. And more Americans die every single day. And the irony is, the Democrats know this. I'm not telling the Democrats anything they don't already know. They know this, and they've known it for several years. Some didn't realize it in 02, but we all realized it by 04. Heck, most independents too. So why can't the troops come home? Because we're afraid that the Republicans will blame us for whatever happens in Iraq afterwards. And let me tell you something. They will blame us for what happens in Iraq afterwards. Of course they will. Of course they will. And will it be ugly? Yes, it will be ugly. It will be ugly because we never should have been there in the first place. But if we leave today and the ugliness happens, or we leave 2 years from now having lost 3,000 more people, Americans, 30,000 more wounded, 300,000, 300,000 more Iraqis dead, and $300 billion more dollars. And then we leave? And then comes the same ugliness? What have we gained? I'd really like to hear from you. I'd like to hear your thoughts on this and how you think we need to respond. I do know that members of Congress do listen into your calls. I called my congressmen and my senators today. I hope you will do the same. If the Democrats are giving them till September, then let's make it clear. Let's make it crystal clear. Republicans, you have till September. And after that, no more blank checks. This is the last blank check we're ever going to write. Oh, and then, have you been watching this testimony with Monica Gooding about Attorney General Gonzalez? I'll talk about that, too, after the break. Give me a call. Let me know what you think. 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-4-H-E-A-D-O-N. And then tomorrow, a very, very special show that you will not want to miss about an alliance between a white supremacist organization and an Islamic terrorist group and how the FBI tried to cover it up. We'll be right back after this.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is the known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robertson. after time, and it goes back for years, you know. Let's talk a minute about his business venture. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that breeds that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yeah, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, you've reached the Johnsons. We're not available to take your call. If you're calling about the apartment for rent, please leave your name and number after the beep, and someone will get back to you.
Hi, my name is Sanjay Rana. I would like to make an appointment to see the apartment.
Oh, hi, this is Robin DiPaola, and I'm calling about the apartment. Please give me a call back at 2.
Hi, hello. This is Rafael Paredes. Please call me back at 718.
This is Jeannie Chu. I'd like to talk to you about the apartment. If you can please call me back.
Hello, my name's Clayton Anderson. I'm calling about the ad in the Sunday paper.
Oh, hello. This is Mrs. Johnson. You must be calling about the apartment.
I am. Is it still available?
Well, you're the first person to call about it. Are you available?
Housing discrimination of all kinds is illegal in the U.S. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop. We're discussing the Democratic capitulation to George Bush. Oh, well, you know, if you're going to veto our bill, then we'll just give you everything we want. Look, we have to take this country back. Howard Dean's right. But when I say take it back, I don't just mean the Democrats. I mean we. I mean you and me. I'm going to ask each and every one of you to do me a favor, and it'll only cost you a small long-distance call. The number's 202-225-3121. I'll repeat it at the end of the broadcast. I'll also put it on my website. 202-225-3121. You can get to any congressman or any senator through that magic number. Let your representatives know how you feel. The Democrats need to see a backlash, and they need to see it from us. They need to see that there are political problems in the other direction. They need to know why they were elected. Most of them are with us, my friends. They're with us in their mind, just not in their political hearts. The lion's share of Democrats agree with us, but they're afraid of the political consequences. That's why they have to hear from us. Look, there are all these polls out there that people are looking at, and there's one poll. There's a poll that says that most Americans want the troops home by March 08. Fine. But then there's another poll that says, do you want to cut off funding for the troops? And 60% of Americans say no. It's not the best worded poll in the world because, heck, I don't want to see funding cut off for the troops. I'd like to see enough funding to bring them home safely, right? That's what the Democrats want. But they cite this poll and they say, well, see, Americans don't want us to just stop the funding. Let's face it, it's a blunt instrument. It's a blunt instrument. I know that. It's the Constitution of the United States. The Democrats don't have power to micromanage the war. They don't. I'll admit it. I'm a constitutional lawyer. They don't have that power. They can't micromanage the war. They can end it. So let's end it. We'll give bills to allow Bush to end it in a responsible way, and we'll keep giving him those bills, and he can keep vetoing those bills. But if not, no bill. Cut off the money. Some would say that's not supporting our troops. I would argue that bringing our troops back home to their loved ones where they don't face danger of an explosive device is the best support we can give for them. So Congress needs to hear from you. I'm hoping that there's enough of a backlash against the Democrats that it's a wake-up call. Not so much for the liberal Dems as for maybe those moderate Dems, but the liberal ones as well. Nancy Pelosi needs to hear from you. Her heart's in the right place, but her political mind is saying, well, I'm just not so sure if there's enough backlash from us we can give backbone to the Democrats. Before I close today, I want to just briefly talk about Monica Goodling. Many of us have been watching the testimony all day. I will talk more about her in future days. It's pretty amazing stuff, isn't it? And I got to give, people a lot of credit, including the junior members of Congress. I have done an amazing job. Arthur Davis, a congressman from Alabama, Democrat, has done an amazing job in asking questions. I mean, Adam Schiff also did a good job. I saw Adam Schiff, and he's saying, well, you know, if you got someone in charge, like a prosecutor, and that person is lying to Congress and is delegating too much to subordinates and so forth, you know, was that grounds to fire them? And Monica was like, yes, no, that's grounds to fire them. And then he was not talking about a U.S. prosecutor. He was talking about Attorney General Gonzalez. But what Arthur Davis did, that was really fun. He would read portions of the Attorney General's testimony. He would read some of the things Gonzalez said to the press, and then he'd ask Monica, is that incorrect? Is that incorrect? Is that incorrect? The Republicans tried to stall it all with a parliamentary procedure, but they got right back on it. They voted it down, as the majority can do. Did Gonzalez lie here? Did he lie there? And one of the most interesting things that I heard her say was how Gonzalez tried to manipulate her testimony. He would say, "Now, I remember it this way. Do you remember it differently?" Classic trick. What was her response? She thought that might be inappropriate, so she didn't want to talk to him about that. Great. This woman, this 33-year-old with 6 months of prosecution experience who's deciding who to hire or fire of the best lawyers in the country, this graduate from the 134th best law school in the country out of 134, Regent Law School, Pat Robertson's self-proclaimed law, she was schooling the Attorney General on what's appropriate and not appropriate. And in some cases, she was right. This same woman who would ask people's political affiliations, she admitted that she didn't hire a very well-respected prosecutor because the woman that she was asked to hire was seen as too liberal. Oh. Instead, she hired someone else who was duly conservative, definitely a Republican. She admitted it was a factor in it, and also was so awful that virtually the entire office under this prosecutor threatened to resign. This is a White House that puts political beliefs, challenges, thoughts before everything else. Before everything else. Do you want to know what the Attorney General scandal is all about? Do you want to know what the prosecutor scandal is all about? I'll give you a hint. It's not about Gonzalez. It's not about Duke Cunningham. It's not about Monica Goodling. It's about Karl Rove doing whatever he can to keep blacks from voting. That's what the scandal's about. Every single prosecutor, it seems, has to do Rove's dirty work or they're out of there. And what is that dirty work? Remove as many blacks and other Democrats from the voter rolls because they know that the public does not support them. So what do? They do what dictators have done for millennia. They change the voters. Right? Stalin was elected 100%. Saddam Hussein, too. Karl Rove can't quite get 100%, but hey, if you put your thumb on the scale, that's enough. 97,000 people thrown off the voter rolls in Florida. And how many of them, of these 97,000 people, almost entirely African Americans, all Democrats, how many of them were found to have fraudulently registered to vote? Zero. Zero. Not a one. That's what the whole thing with David Iglesias was about. You see, the idea was that he had thrown so many legitimate New Mexicans off the voter rolls that he had to have a prosecution against some person somewhere who committed voter fraud. Otherwise, it looked like Karl Rove was simply trying to prevent blacks and other Democrats from voting. But Iglesias, Republican but an honorable one, said, Karl, there's no there. There's no one to prosecute. Sorry, Senator Domenici. There's no one to prosecute. There's no fraud here. I don't have a proven case. Republicans will constantly talk about voter fraud. And maybe they'll find one or two cases out of 300 million people. I don't know. I can't think of one, but I'm sure they can find one or two. But in order to justify the one or two cases of voter fraud, they will deny hundreds of thousands of people the right to vote. Almost 1 million Americans did not get to vote in 2004 because of Karl Rove's machinations. Now, in a country where only 100 million people are voting, 1 million Democrats not voting? That's substantial help in a country that's split. They did it in 2000. We know they did it in 2000. We know Al Gore won Florida. And if you want evidence, I'll be happy to give you the song and dance. I've done this many times on the show. Even Matt Drudge admits it's true. Congress admitted it. Everyone has said it's true. In 2004, they denied the vote to enough African Americans that they couldn't vote. And the whole trick in understanding the U.S. attorney scandal is understanding it's all about trying to keep blacks and the Democrats from voting. That's it for the Inside Scoop today. You don't want to miss tomorrow's show. Tomorrow is an awesome show with the whistleblower Michael German, former FBI agent who was fired for exposing FBI fraud and incompetence about an investigation involving white supremacist organizations and Islamic terrorist organizations. This is a very special Inside Scoop. Do not miss tomorrow. For now, this is Mark Levine signing off.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. The Senate voted to cut the number of guest workers from 400 to 200,000. From 400 to 200,000 as part of a new immigration bill, Washington lawmakers narrowly approved a bill to impose strict penalties for price gouging at the pump. The bill calls for fines of up to $150 million for corporations and $2 million in jail time for individuals found to be overcharging for oil and gas. The White House said the measure is a form of price controls and will urge President Bush to veto the bill. Monica Goodling, the Justice Department's former White House liaison, testified that Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty is to blame for misleading Congress about the firings of U.S. attorneys last year. Goodling denies any involvement in the process. A former Coca-Cola secretary will serve jail time for conspiring to steal trade secrets. A federal judge ignored Joya Williams' pleas for mercy and gave her a longer sentence than recommended. Williams planned to sell the secrets to Pepsi for $1.5 million. Iraqi police have recovered the body of a man believed to be one of the missing U.S. soldiers kidnapped in Iraq 11 days ago.